The Justin Robert Young Show is brought to you, as always, by everybody who supports patreon.com/JURY. Make sure that you get in there. Listen, the response to this has been so huge over the last few months. Thank you guys so much for making my dream a reality. Enough talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
Ugly ain't the half, look at you. Well, you got blue teeth and you only got two teeth, but I kinda like to see you smile. And it appears that over the years you've turned into a big old steaming pile. And she said, yeah, I know I ain't no supermodel. I said, you ain't a hand model, baby, but that's fine. You're pretty ugly by most people's standards, but you're all right by mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Justin Robert Young Podcast. My name is Justin Robert Young. It's not just a clever name. Oh, my God. I was just telling the live audience, remind me, dear internet, fair internet, remind me, your old pal, Justin Robert Young, to clear out podcasts on weeks when I'm as busy as this. So much shit coming up. We got, Kickstarter coming up on Friday for Action News. That one is coming along. We're like 95% there, which of course means the last 5% is going to be about as difficult as possible. I was a dummy and decided that I was going to help facilitate like this. This is a lot of dumb stuff that y'all don't need to know, but effectively, the remains of BitTorrent News are being sold to the highest bidder, and I happen to be the only guy that is local to where all the equipment is. So now I gotta work out how everybody gets their shit. And then, of course, we have Nerdtacular. Oh, how I long for the days. How I long for the days when I could just be nervous about whether or not I'd be funny at Nerdtacular. Oh, man. Which, of course, means I won't be funny at all. I'm just going to be a train wreck. I'm just going to be chain smoking, on the Snowbird stage. Like, I've never actually had a panic attack. I don't think I've never had no panic attack. But I would imagine that this is close to what it feels like. This isn't me trying to, like, solicit worry or anything. It's just, you know, where a lot of points are converging. So I want to thank you guys for being with me. And I do want to talk a little bit about Action News because I am so stressed out because I care about the project so much and I feel so positive about it. You know, I we got the rough cut for the Kickstarter video last night. Still has some finishing and stuff to go, but I think it's really good. I think what you guys are going to see is really good. I'm really proud of the game. We got demos that are set to go out. And it's really it's just an amazing process to be a part of. Let me tell you all a little bit about how Action News kind of came to be. We did the Contender 2 years ago. And the year after that, we went to Gen Con. And I think at that point, Contender had done well. But as we kind of went over in some of the Medium articles and folks who have followed us and listened to this show kind of know the story behind it. But immediately after making $140,000 on the Kickstarter, we lost $40,000 because we were dummies. And so it was under that umbrella that we decided we were going to, try to make another game. And initially the idea was to kind of make more of a game. Because the Contender, for as fun as it is, it's not so much of a game. It's a party, you know, where you're interacting and you're yelling at friends. It's a good time, but it doesn't exactly have a beginning, middle, and an end. And so we sought to make something more of a game. I think we were very much affected and intimidated, and I would say swayed by some of the reaction to the Contender, which kind of came back like that. Fun trifle, but not a game. And so, man, we came out with a bunch of different things. And I would love to actually release the ones that we actually went a little further on. I think that would be really fun for everybody. We had a game called Martyr, where the idea was each person had to become the most powerful they could before dying. They would then live on better. You know, they would live on with a more fiery memory. We came up with a similar game called Greed, where you had to eliminate everybody else on the board of directors for a company whilst making the most money. And I think the one that probably got the furthest, and we would release if we wanted to do something like that. Yeah, Jeremy Lundy points out we couldn't nail down the details of Martyr. We came up with a game called Trash Masters, which we really liked, and we liked the artistic possibilities of. But effectively, I think, all right, full disclosure, and you can ask John Teasdale about this, I think that 90% of the reason why we went as far as with Trash Masters as we could is because we really like saying the name Trash Masters. We just like saying it like that. Like, not Trash Masters. Trash Masters. Like, 4 A's, 3 Y's in Trash Masters. And the idea of that game was this. That you would each be a post-apocalyptic owner of a dump. And you would put together, you would assemble by way of drawing cards. It had kind of a go fish mechanic. You would assemble the robot, basically. And the idea is that you would be destroying the other people's robots, breaking those robot parts into trash, and then picking them up with your robot and collecting the most trash. And at a certain point, you hit a trash threshold, your dump was the most successful, and you won the game. So we went as far as to playtest this at Gen Con. And it went fairly well. People liked it. To be honest, I think that if we got really rad art for it, It could have done okay. I think it was a fun enough mechanic, and it's a fun enough idea. Oh, and then we also briefly flirted with the idea of sex the game. The less said about sex the game, the better. But ultimately, what we came down to was none of these really felt like the next game from the people that brought you the contender. Right? And what we determined was that what made the contender fun for people and ultimately put us in the black on it was this idea that you were inhabiting a very rare element of our society. And that is someone for whom you believe is very talented, yet you also would be very curious to see how well you do if you were in their position. You know, I remember, and goddamn, I don't know where it was, but I remember I was at a convention once. I think it was in San Diego, when I lived in San Diego. And there was like the radio station had a booth, and they would let you intro a song. So basically, you could play DJ. You'd get behind the microphone, put on the headphones, and you would say, that was whatever, whatever, by the Bangles. And I remember the song that I introed. I remember that I had to intro Cher's If I Could Turn Back Time. And I remember listening back to it, because in my head, I'm a kid. I'm like, oh, this is great. DJs are great. I love DJs. You can do the job of a DJ. Turns out I fucking could. But all you got to do is say the words. And then you listen back to yourself. It's kind of like listening to yourself on an answering machine. And you're like, oh, God, no. I'm not close to being a DJ. So in my head, I'm like, well, thank you. That was the Bangles. And now for shares, if I could turn back time. You hit the post, you know, because it's like building, the song's building up, and then you got to hit the post, right? But of course, when I listened back to it, I was just like, this is sure. Of course, it was a higher pitched voice because I was younger. This is sure. I'll give you a good sermon name. Yes, that was where Cher straddled the battlefield turret. And now for a dedication. I'll tell you, take us out of these up-tempo numbers. So those were the kind of people that we realized that we had tapped into with politicians. Those were the type of people that it's fun to pretend to be, because you know that they have talent, yet you simultaneously think you could do it. And so that's where the idea, we went through a couple different ideas in trying to kind of get it all put together. One of them was stand-up comedy, try to do stand-up comedy. The other was a singer, you know, or writing song lyrics. We never did radio DJ, oddly enough, but then again, nobody listens to radio. What we wound up doing, coming to the conclusion of, is Anchorman, right? Everybody loves Anchorman. Everybody loves doing the Anchorman voice. And everybody loves doing the this is a television news anchor's voice. Everybody loves doing that. And so Action News in earnest was born. It is at this time that I want to let you know that it takes a village to make these games, and well, not really a village, more of a car full of people. So I want to take this time to shout out the people who are far more talented than me that probably made all the elements of the game that you guys are going to like. So a big shout out to John Teasdale. John is one of the greatest and tireless game designers that I know. He has got the eye for math and detail that I certainly don't have. John is always kind of forcefully beating me into the places where I need to go in terms of game design. When I just want to sort of flit off and make things as fun as humanly possible, John is there to make sure that I understand that this game isn't working. And there are mathematical reasons, there are algorithmic reasons why it is not working and why we are far from it being a good game. John's hallmarks are all over The Contender, and I would say even more so with Action News. He did a tremendous job, and I would highly recommend not only, you know, finding him on Twitter and letting him know that you appreciate his efforts once you play the game, but also, just understanding that if you are buying this game in any way because you enjoy my humor, that will certainly be found in the game. But the reason why the game's a game is John Teasdale, and there's really no two ways about it. And simultaneously, the other third to this project is Guts and Glory. If it weren't for Guts and Glory, we would make a game that doesn't look as good. And more than that, it would not look as professional. I don't think that it would attract the attention that it does, or it will. At least I hope. The Contender certainly did, and I would expect Action News to do the same. You know, there were some thoughts, from other people once we had gotten done with The Contender that, you know, they were shocked that we gave a percentage of our game, a third of our game to our designers. That was way out of league, you know, with what normally designers are compensated. You can pay them. Sometimes you pay them a lot of money. Sometimes you pay them quite a bit. But you don't give them a percentage, you know. And I disagree with that. I disagree with that a lot. Because to me, the universe and the design that is created by, in my mind, two of the best in the industry is something that I wouldn't give up. It makes us stand out in a world where game design is, quite frankly, terrible. It's awful. It stinks. Most Kickstarter videos these days for card games, for tabletop games, are literally just renders of the cards and the pieces kind of floating in space. They don't look good. And they look professional, but they don't look good. What we are going to be able to produce for you guys on Friday is something that I believe is head-turning. I believe our design is second to none. I don't know if, folks, you guys are all going to see it on my, on all the social media. And by the way, follow at Contender Game if you want, you want to take a look at it. But if you have not seen it, I think I flashed it during the, during the Friday hype train, but let me just go ahead and show you guys the box here. This is our box, you know? And, I can't tell you how much this means to me. This looks like something that belongs, that absolutely belongs in Target, everywhere. It belongs on your shelf. And based on your guys' reactions, it looks like you guys agree. And if this sounds a little rambly, it's because it is. Because right now we are at a really, really pivotal point, and I'm getting kind of emotional about it. But I don't know really what it is. about me, but I've always enjoyed being part of a team, even when being part of a team is not fun, even when the team hates each other. And I don't know, you could probably, if you really wanted to dig deep, you could probably take a look at my past and say that, you know, there's plenty of a young Justin Robert Jury running back and forth between my divorcing mother and father and trying to make everybody happy, that I constantly try to recreate, hopefully with a little bit less acrimony, but I do want to bring people together when I know that they can be better together than apart. That's a bad example with my mom and my dad, but let's just kind of fast forward. There are so many talented people that I would love to work with, and it is something that I try my best to do. And if there is one piece of advice that I could give anybody listening, is to try to identify your strengths. Try to find people that are super talented at what they do and try to match your talent to as good as they have their talent. And man, I hope and I strive to do that in everything that I do. And I really, really, really hope that that's something that other people see in me. And I hope it reflects in the final product. Because without a doubt, I want to be able to deliver value to you guys. I want to be able to be worthwhile to the people that I work with to provide value to you guys. And that's pretty much the bottom line. It's got a little bit more rambly than I wanted to. But, you know, initially I just kind of wanted to hype the game. And I think you guys know that for me, you know, I can hype it. I can do the dance. I can say Action News kickstarting on June 30th. I can say that we now know for a fact that we need you. We need Diamond Club. We need you to spread the word on this more than we ever have before on June 30th. We got to talk from Kickstarter. Said, hey, by the way, why are y'all launching this on July 4th weekend? Y'all know the people leave, right? Y'all know the people are away from their computers for the whole weekend on July 4th weekend, right? And we were like, well, sir, I didn't know. I didn't quite think that through. But they said something interesting. Here's what they said. They said, Justin. They didn't say Justin. John was emailing with him. They said, let's just for dramatic effect act like they were talking to me. You need to make sure that you have a very deep relationship with your diehard audience. To which I said, well, it's a good goddamn thing I do. Let me go ahead and look in the back here. Let me go ahead and say, you want to know what? I think we're fine. I think that we can talk directly to our audience. I think that we can talk directly to everybody who liked The Contender. I think that we can talk directly to everybody that likes Frog Pants, that likes me on the morning stream, that likes me on Hotline Monday. I think that we can talk directly to the Diamond Club, everybody that likes Night Attack. And I think that I can talk at this point directly to Chat Realm. I think that we are going to do this. I think that we are going to make sure that this is a success. And you want to know why? It's not because it's like a fan thing. It's not because it's an audience thing. We're going to put to the test something that I genuinely believe in. And that is that on the internet, there is only one true currency. One true currency. And that is authenticity. You guys know when something matters to me, and you guys know when it doesn't. So for every time that I bare my soul and I talk about jerking off next to my friends when I was a young teenager, when I talk within hours of finding out that my dead dad has apparently come back to life, when I have episodes like I did last week where I'm just in a bad mood because I'm in physical pain. By the way, I went to the doctor. It's an active, aggravated sciatic nerve. They gave me some pills. Everything will be fine. When I do that, I hope I've bought something. That I have exercised the one true currency on the internet, and I have proven to you guys that I am indeed authentic. And I have felt that love from you guys, and I absolutely believe that we are going to do this together. Stupid Mike. That we are going to do this without fail. That against the odds, against the scheduling, we are going to pull this off. And now for my review of the iPhone 7. Because I believe in life after love. I mean, listen, if I could turn back time, if I could find a way. I'll tell you what. The lyrics to If I Could Turn Back Time would come in very helpful in my messages right now. All right, let's go ahead and get into the rest of the story. I feel like I've cathartically worked out my issues real quick. We got a couple funny stories and we got a couple emails. Hey, by the way, real quick, if there is any last minute submissions for the OPP show, that's going to be my one-man show before Night Attack. Other people's pain. The idea is you write in your most embarrassing story and I will have somebody else read it, therefore disconnecting you trying to shield yourself or play certain stuff up. We are going to read your story together, me and a stranger, and so you can listen to how your story sounds in the mouth of somebody else. If you've got an embarrassing or funny story. And we got a couple doozies. We got some long ones. We got some short ones. We got a short one about a long one. Don't worry. You'll figure that out later. Then go ahead and send them in. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Let's get into this here first, though. Barathean couple claims they live a food-free lifestyle and haven't felt hungry since 2008. This is an article from The Independent by Rachel Hoyce. Rachel writes, studies have shown that the health benefits of brief periods of fasting, but one couple is making the bizarre claim that they have learned to survive largely without food and have instead sustained by cosmic nourishment. Camila Castillo, 34, and Akai Ricardo, 36, are what's known as breatharians. They say they just eat three times a week, with each meal consisting of a piece of fruit and some vegetable broth. Such claims have attracted equal measure of ridicule and alarm in the past. Breatharianism has been linked to the deaths of several people, including Verity Lynn, a 49-year-old Australian whose emaciated body was found on a mountain in northwest Scotland in 1999, alongside a diary recounting a 71-day fast and a copy of a book by the founder of breatharianism known as Joss Mihin. These are the people right now. For those watching us on Twitch TV at Night Attack, DiamondClub.tv. So the issue here is not that people are starving themselves, because I don't know if people have picked up on this. There's a lot of people starving themselves. In fact, many people are living on very, very little food without much of a choice. They have not downloaded a fancy ebook. They are just hungry. So, the big thing here is not that people are starving themselves, but rather that these two people are claiming that they live a healthy lifestyle with this diet. And more specifically, if you'll notice, this isn't a story that you can just run with the text, you know? You got to run the picture next to it. Because otherwise, if it's like, these people are surviving without eating, and then you just cut to these walking skeletons, you're like, oh, yeah, obviously, they're going to die. But you look at these fine folks, and then, you know, they look like healthy, skinny, sure, skinny, but otherwise healthy-looking people. This is also a story that is worth talking about. It's because of exactly what Max Trollbot is saying right now in the Twitch chat. And that is, they're either frauds or idiots, and there's no middle ground. So, what are they? Frauds or idiots? I would take a wild guess and say that they might not be 100% truthful in exactly what their diet is. You know, attention does strange things to people. And I also wouldn't go so far as to call them idiots. You know, a lot of people make a lot of very damaging life decisions, right? It's a lot of, if we're going to applaud the brave stance in a PC culture of saying, yeah, I smoke cigarettes and I eat steaks, what of it? I'm 45 years old, I'm a man, what am I going to do, change now? If we're going to applaud that, then there should at least be compassion for somebody that wants to live a different lifestyle. You know, I'm sure these guys will talk your ear off about why breatharianism is healthier for you, and they can live off cosmic vibes. I guess cosmic vibes is another key word for understanding that this might be BS. But I don't know. I mean, this is just one of those stories. It's a story that I kind of hate because it literally is just there to re-report a question as opposed to getting to the bottom of it. You know? Like, the real story here, hashtag the real story, should be we spent 5 days with them and they don't seem to eat, right? Or we monitor their blood levels. Or they are now submitting themselves for testing to see whether or not there indeed is a health benefit for this radically reduced intake. Now, everything we know about nutritional science would say no. You know, we need calories. We need fats. We need sugars. We need these things to live. Cosmic vibrations do not motivate us. But maybe it's just the time I spent with Andrew at the James Randi Educational Foundation, but I have a very high threshold for we need to take a closer look at this. You know, when you've got people saying that they have divining rods that can find water, you know, I think that if you're going to test them, which I think we should, This is kind of the basis of why I love Weird Things, both as a website when I was writing it and as a podcast now, is that that general idea that I don't think Bigfoot's real, but I think he's awesome. I don't think the X-Files is a documentary, but man, it'd be cool if it were based on true stories. But in that idea, we cannot settle for false prophets. I believe in Bigfoot like I would believe in the second coming of Christ or Jesus himself as a figure. I would not accept nor tolerate false prophets. I want to see the genuine article. It would stand to scientific reason that there's far more that we don't know about the human race than what we do know. I mean, hell, just look at what we were doing 100 years ago. You know, 117 years ago, we had a president get shot, and he wound up dying of lead poisoning. You know, not from ruptured organs or nothing. He got shot at a World's Fair that had the X-ray. If he had been shot a couple years later, he probably would have lived. So there's probably a lot we don't know. There's probably a ton that we have yet to understand and explore. And I'm sure that if we were just to get the full download on all that immediately, man, it would freak us the F out. But if we're going to do it, and if we're going to find it, and if we're going to catalog it, poof, no substitutions, baby. The real dope. That's all we need. That being said, I think these guys are lying. So that is all to say, I really want to believe them, but they've got a lot of like lying hallmarks. So if we're going to say that there's only a binary option of frauds or frauds or idiots, then I disagree about that binary. And like somebody said in the Twitch chat, I'm going to go with the gray area in that Venn diagram and say fraud idiots. Here's a story that's been getting a lot of play inside my Twitter stream because I apparently know a lot of people that knows this dude. This is an alert, a PR Newswire alert. Alert, 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 alert. Starting August 7th, you can get married at the Taco Bell. I'm married at the Taco Bell. Divorced at the Pizza Hut. I had an entire relationship at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. From Irvine, California, this is a press release here. In the most craveable matrimonial ceremony ever to hit Las Vegas, Taco Bell unveiled that beginning June 7th, fans everywhere can tie the knot at a Taco Bell style. At the brand's flagship Las Vegas Cantina restaurant. Yesterday, June 25th, 2017, Taco Bell hosted its inaugural wedding for the winners of a previously announced Love and Tacos contest, in which couples across America entered to win an all-expenses-paid trip to wed at the Las Vegas Cantina. Following more than 150 entries and more than 17,000 votes, the happy couple Dan Rickert and Bianca Monda won the contest, and they celebrated their wedding at the Doritos Locos Tacos Filled Dreams. So like I said, this is apparently something that's been in my newsfeed a lot. I did meet Dan Reichert once because he also went to Hood Slam a lot. And I once had folks tell me, hey, Dan Reichert's there. You should meet Dan Reichert. He also loves Hood Slam. So I walked over and I said hello. And it was really awkward because really didn't have anything else to say other than people on Twitter told me to say hi to you. But I think that's rad. I wish them a very, very happy matrimony. I think it's awesome that they went to Taco Bell to do that. I think it's cool that Taco Bell's getting in the marriage game. But it kind of got me thinking. If Taco Bell's where you get married, what other services could other fast food restaurants serve to you? Right? Like, which is the most likely fast food restaurant to also be a notary public? Because I would be down if all of a sudden in the next Arby's commercial, they had like that deep voice dude.
Dude that's like, oh wait, hold on.
Check.
Oh wait, no, that didn't echo down. Check. If all of a sudden Arby's was like, Arby's, we got the meats. Also, if you want to get your legal forms notarized, head on over to your local Arby's.
Yeah, money orders too. Money orders would also would also be good. I think oh man, this is a great idea. So Brusselberry says, which would combine best with a DMV? Here's my point with the DMV. You don't want fast food with a DMV, okay? You want the restaurant that has the longest wait. Whatever has the longest, oh my, dude, this is $1 million idea. We are giving somebody $1 million idea right now. DMV. Everybody hates it. Totally sucks, right? What do you say? You do one of these pop-up shops. Next time Kanye West, 2 Chainz, wants to do a pop-up shop, you open it at the DMV. Some celebrity chef wants to do a pop-up shop. Boom. You do it at the DMV. So now all of a sudden, the Alamo Draft House, that's another one. So here's the deal. Here's what sucks about the DMV. You're waiting for a while, and then you get up to the thing, and they're like, yeah, sorry, we can't do that. Now, that sucks because all you were doing was killing time waiting in that line, right? But let's say you were either waiting in line that was also a rad restaurant, or you were picking up some exclusive merch, or how about this? Like somebody mentioned, it's an Alamo Draft House, right? So you go to the Alamo Draft House. You fill out all your DMV paperwork, and you just submit it, right? You go see your movie. Next thing you know, when you come out, if they got to see you to take pictures, you just walk over to the picture line. But otherwise, they're just waiting to do everything they need to do. They do that while you're in the movie. So they're taking as slow as they gosh darn want. You're sitting in there watching Baby Driver. Tell you what. But if we want to stick with it being a food thing, then you want just a really disorganized restaurant. I don't want to name anything in case they're eventually a future sponsor. But for the purposes of this exercise, let's just go ahead and call a very disorganized restaurant Schmarl Schmoonier. Somewhere where you're already waiting about 20 minutes too long. I feel like this is the DMV. What can we combine with a DMV? Oh, hell yeah. This is great. Here's another funny story. Apparently, all anybody tells me is that in New Zealand's just a really fun place. It's really laid back. A lot of people compare New Zealand to California. You know, it's just kind of a different vibe, you know? So apparently, in New Zealand, there's a bit of a problem. Parents are feeding their kids dog food. This is an article from the New Zealand Herald. nzherald.co.nz. More parents have admitted to mistakenly trying to feed their children dog food after a pet snack featuring a well-known kids cartoon character was put next to chips in a supermarket. The store owners have apologized after dozens of horrified parents have said that they bought the Scooby snacks for their youngsters at the Whagnoy Pack and Save this week to eat at school and kindergarten. They were shocked to discover that the 30-gram individual carob snacks were never intended for human consumption, but were rather animal snacks. Notices have gone up around the Wagner preschools, and staff are checking lunchboxes to make sure children aren't eating the wrong food. Quote one parent on Facebook, "I wondered why my boy didn't like the taste of them," posted a parent. One parent popped a doggy treat in her mouth after the child rejected it. "I got these today, not knowing they were dog food, and tried giving one to my one-year-old. Luckily, he wasn't hungry and ended up eating one and spitting it back out, followed by reading the packet more." One more parent said, "I was absolutely mortified when I gave them to my daughter. She took one bite and said, 'This is rubbish.' I looked at the packet closely and gasped and said, 'Oh no, I'm sorry. I just fed you dog food.'"
Ruh-roh. You're a bad parent.
I mean, I'm not trying to say that being a parent is easy. I'm sure that there are a million of these kinds of stories. But also, I don't blame them, these New Zealanders. Like, look at that. It definitely, I mean, I don't know. This is a very suspiciously cropped photo. Because if you just look at it, it kind of looks like they are just dog bone-shaped cookies. But it might say up there at the top, like, for dogs only. I don't know if I'm ready to, to hammer the creators of the Scooby Snacks. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at your emails. Again, if you want to email the show, just do so at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. That is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Will writes, "I was listening to The Lightest Jury, and you were talking about..." That was a little Australian right there. "I was listening to The Lightest Jury." The Lightest Jury. "And you were talking about Action News and your feelings about it. It sparked a question that I've had in the back of my head for a long time. How do you prefer people support you? I like Patreon because I own the process. It's variable, and I can give any amount that I want. Never bought any stickers, never bought the Contender. They just aren't products that appeal to me, and they have profit margins. I'd rather give you $30 knowing you'd walk away with $27 or whatever Patreon's cut is. But if I supported Action News, I'd have a game that I'm sure is great, but in reality I don't think I'd ever look at. And you'd have what I can't imagine is possibly more than $4. So can I just Venmo you $30? Can I up my Patreon pledge? Or is the momentum of Kickstarter more important? You've more than earned my money without a doubt. Just call me the Burger King because you can have it your way." So this is an interesting point that I've gotten a little bit more, or an interesting question that I've gotten a lot more as I've done more stuff. A wise, 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 wise woman, Saint Colleen. Lo, her blessings are mighty. She told me a very wise thing once that it took me a while to realize. And that is to just create as many different places where people can give you money so they can give you money on their terms. And if you don't care about card games, if you don't care about stickers, if you don't care about Twitch emotes, then yeah, Patreon's a way to go. If you like board games or know somebody that you could give a board game Christmas present to, forget I said that. We're not promising that it'll get there by Christmas. Might not get there by Christmas. Hopefully it'll get there by Christmas. We're not promising it, to be clear. Then, yeah, Action News is great. And I won't lie to you that Kickstarter momentum does mean a lot. But the idea of having different ways that people can give me money directly and different ways that people can buy a product that they like is very much a very important thing to me. Because I never want people to feel like they have to go out of their way to give me money. I want them to feel good about giving money. either because they want to support the Patreon, and I've been trying to provide more and more value for that, or because they like the product that they get, because I give them a good product for their cash. So that's what I'd say. I very much believe in Action News. And I believe that you guys will like it. Even if you give it away as a birthday gift. That's a better way to say that. We have a couple emails about me not believing that Admiral Nelson. So we read this story about how Captain Morgan had won. Mahoy. Captain Morgan had won a legal contest with the creators of Admiral Nelson rum, that Admiral Nelson was far too similar to Captain Morgan. I then was shocked to learn, according to that article, that Admiral Nelson had only been around for like 6 years, when I distinctly remember somebody having Admiral Nelson, if not in high school, definitely in college. And to give you a sense of when that was, we are talking between 97 and 2003. So I got a couple emails on that. Here's the first. Just want to say that your parody of Captain Henry James Morgan is 100% on point and in no way sounds like a bottle of rum. Which was part of my other legal disclaimer that I indeed do an impression. Mahoy! Of Captain Morgan, but it is an impression of Captain Henry James Morgan, the real person, and in no way any trademarked elements of Diageo beverage distributors. Somebody else wrote me, Jason, are you actually thinking of Sailor Jerry? No, I am not thinking of Sailor Jerry because I've always known Sailor Jerry to have the hula girl as the bottle art and the like old sailor tattoo bottle art, where I always thought Admiral Nelson was funny because it was the Mr. Pibb to Captain Morgan's Dr. Pepper. And I always love that whenever anybody just does that, like, slight different thing. It's like, oh, no, he's an admiral, actually. He's more important than a captain. And finally, there was Chris. Chris wrote, it's your your friendly neighborhood world-class financial analyst. Like many issues in life, you can follow the money. You can come to the truth. The answer to your Mandela effect of you thinking that you drank Admiral Nelson rum in high school is correct. What you were reading in regards to Admiral Nelson Spice rum being 6 years old was from the date of the brand's acquisition by Haven Hill Distilleries buying Admiral Nelson from the St. Louis-based distillery Lux Co. back in 2011. However, Luxco didn't take owner of the Admiral Nelson brand until 2003, where it bought out the remaining 50% of the shares from the David Sherman Corporation, which was founded in the 1960s and started their own brand development back in the 70s. Unfortunately, the data is not publicly available for anything prior to 2001, so I can't tell exactly when Admiral Nelson hit the shelves. But I remember Admiral Nelson being on the shelves of my local Walmart when I graduated high school in 2000. Ba-ba! Gotcha! It was not Shazam! It was not the Mandela Effect! It was not the Bernstein Bears! No! Vindicated! Admiral Nelson rode the high seas when I was in college! Fun fact, Chris adds, the naval-themed Spice Rum have a third persona. Have you heard of Luxco's brand, Lady Bly? Which, as soon as he mentioned Luxco, this came in on Wednesday last week, I immediately flash back because on Night Attack, we found, we talked about this because obviously this was a, you know, anything Captain Morgan related was going to be mentioned on Night Attack. But we brought up Lady Bly, which is yet another, like, real skirting around the trademark rights of Captain Morgan, because she very much looks like Captain Morgan, this time even with all the same color combinations. But really, the twist on Lady Bly is not would you like your rum to be your cool friend? It's would you like to fuck this rum? Honest question. Do you like Captain Morgan? But you often find yourself asking yourself, I'd kind of like to fuck this rum. Well, guess what? You don't have to come to any new staggering decisions on where you land on the Kinsey scale, because we want to sell you Lady Bly. Ah, Lady Bly. She's based on a real person, but she kind of looks like Captain Morgan. And all of her different marketing messages sound like she's kind of DTF. There's Friends with Benefits. Mix it up with Lady B. She has right here on her social media page, let's hook up, but don't get all clingy on me. AKA, I'm some rum you can fuck, and I'm not going to call you the next day. You don't even have to snuggle. Just go ahead and buy me. I'm Lady Bly. Amazing. Amazing. And then finally, J.C. Calhoun wrote, regarding a group of people being at a restaurant a long time and tipping, I used to work third shift, and on Friday mornings we would go to a bar at 7 a.m. We tipped well, and they loved us, until one day they really didn't. After a few weeks of them treating us poorly, we found out why. One of the guys from work, but quit, had always been the last to leave. He would take our cash and write a check for the whole bill. Those checks all bounced, so he was not only screwing over the bar, but screwing us too. That's yet another edition of a long, long, long-running series we could call People Who Work at Restaurants Are Very, Very, Very Screwed Up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that about wraps it up for us. Folks, if you would like to email us, it is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. A reminder, go ahead and follow me on Twitter @JustinRYoung. Follow @ContenderGame on Twitter as well. That is where we are going to be pushing all of the action news stuff. I will be landing in Snowbird, Utah on Thursday. All sorts of stuff in the offing. But folks, if you find yourself in any situation, remember that your old pal Justin Robert Young is here, efforting you to please go! Do you like the way you're dressed up? Do you like how your hair gets cut? Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.